Christ is risen. There is an old saying that I have found to be true. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Life is not always subject to plan or prediction. When I graduated from this seminary long ago, I had my future in ministry planned, even scripted. For in going out on vicarage, Paul Lessman, who was in charge of that program at the time, asked me, "Is there any particular place you would like to go?" "Yes," I said, "matter of fact, there is." "Where?" he said. And I replied, "Washington, D.C." And that's where I went. Pretty simple, or so I thought. Why not more of the same going forward? But now, as I look back from this point in time, I can see that very little of what I had in mind after my graduation from this seminary followed any plan that I had outlined for myself. So what about you who are waiting for the sonorous voice of Glenn Nielsen or Wayne Nolhoff to call your name on Wednesday? You may have some idea of what each of them will announce on behalf of God the Holy Spirit. But what will it actually turn out to be? You don't know for sure. I purposely chose this text from the book of Acts, for like the gospel, also authored by St. Luke, it concludes with what I believe is a resurrection story. Jesus' story in Luke 24 is familiar, but Paul's resurrection experience toward the end of the book of Acts may not be. The same text from Acts 27 is also a great sea story. It was not the right time of year at all to set sail from Crete toward Rome. Even Paul sensed this and said so. But as at some church conventions, he was outvoted. A gentle breeze from the south seemed to confirm the will of the majority. But then a Mediterranean nor'easter of hurricane force blew up, and the ship that was transporting this same apostle as a prisoner from Palestine to Rome so that he could make his appeal to the emperor, to which he was entitled as a Roman citizen, this ship got caught up in the midst of this storm. And for St. Paul, it had to be three of the worst days of his life. On the first, all control of the ship was lost. The crew passed ropes underneath the ship in sort of baling wire fashion to try to secure it. At the same time, all attempts at manipulating the sails of the ship were of no use. Day two was no better, despite the fact that the crew jettisoned the ship's cargo. And on the third day, they had no idea where they were. For sun and stars had not been seen for many a day. The story, I believe, provides a good metaphor for the way that life can be for any of us. Perhaps there are some features of your life right now, whether you're going to be sitting in the front rows here on call day or not, that your gut is telling you have gotten away from you. Maybe there is someone in your household right now who's out of control. Perhaps it is you. Or maybe you're feeling a bit helpless as you face the prospect of catching up on those things in your courses to which you might have given attention earlier in this term. Or maybe, just maybe, you've lost your bearings a bit. You're here at the seminary, but you're not quite sure exactly what you might become. I don't know. The storm continued raging, or so Luke tells us, and we finally gave up all hope of being saved. They were dead meat. Have you ever faced a situation that seemed as hopeless as this one? I have. And if you haven't, you may at some time in the future. It's the same point to which Jesus' followers came on Good Friday when he was crucified, died, and was buried. We had hoped, oh, we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel, or so one of his followers would say, but at the cross, all that hope went down the drain. The high drama at sea sketched out by Luke in this chapter of Acts is a good metaphor, I believe, also of the state of the world, the state of the North American church in which we find ourselves today. Dramatic shifts demographically and socially, as well as tear. These things aren't simply a blip on the radar screen. Maybe they're the new normal. And St. Paul in our text had a kind of Jonah experience out there in the middle of the Mediterranean. But in the apostle's case, he was pursuing the mission of God and not running away from it. He was doing what he believed that God was asking him to do in life. And so it is with every North American pastor or church worker today, no matter what seminary he or she graduated from. The winds and the waves sweeping across the bow of a congregation to which one may be called are just as formidable. Still, God is the one who has the last word. For Jesus, it was Easter Sunday that followed Good Friday, and in Paul's case, there was that angel of God who stood by and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar." And God has graciously given the lives of all who set sail with you. At another point in looking at the state of his ministry, Paul would write in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, one of my favorite passages, "Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us. And for us who share this same faith in Jesus Christ as the risen one that the apostle did, there is always such hope." When my mother gave birth to me, on February the 21st, she and my father intended me to be baptized as soon as possible. within a week or two. That was the plan. God must have laughed, for that plan was thwarted because an illness quarantined me for a period of 6 weeks, and the next available date for baptism was April the 25th. In retrospect, I cannot think of a better day than April 25th for me to be baptized, for that year, April 25th was Easter Sunday. And because it was, I know, and I am continually reminded, and I have seen that resurrection is the everyday hope that Jesus has secured for me and for us all. It is to that hope that I want to testify here this morning. As much as I might wish, I cannot promise you protection from the stormy seas of life. There are few problems for which I can offer a quick fix. But I do believe that the one who is in charge is God. And I believe that God's forgiveness covers any sin, and that new life in some form is what he is committed to granting us in the midst of any dilemma in life or in ministry. I also believe that the mission that we are called to pursue is God's mission. And because it is, the outcome for the church that we serve in our time is not death, but rebirth and new life. I believe this, and so can you on this day, because Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen.